Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. Now, my producers brought me a test tube with a funnel on top. And starting this fall, a million people will spit into one of these, like this. And you close it up, and you mail it away. It's part of a genetic screening project to find so-called unexpected heroes, people whose genes say they should be sick, but they aren't. It's an attempt to develop new treatments for rare diseases. This large-scale genetic treasure hunt is called the Resilience Project, and it's possible now because of advances in genetic sequencing and supercomputing. Carolyn Beeler has this story.
At a March TED Talk in Vancouver, Dr. Stephen Friend introduced the Resilience Project by suggesting that scientists have been looking for new drugs in all the wrong places.
We do a lot of studying of those who are sick, but maybe if what we're trying to do is to develop therapies for prevention, maybe what we should be doing is studying those who don't get sick.
That's exactly what Friend is doing now. The Seattle geneticist partnered with the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai to launch the project. The goal? Test the DNA of a million adults 30 and over for genetic mutations that the textbooks say always lead to more than 100 different inherited diseases. Those include sickle cell disease, cystic fibrosis, and Gaucher's disease.
What we're asking and looking for is, are there a very few set of individuals who are actually walking around with the risk that normally would cause a disease, but something hidden in them is actually protective?
Protective, meaning that some other gene or something else in their history is keeping them healthy.
We know that maybe one in every 25,000 or 50,000 adults is walking around who carries these gene changes, but they're healthy.
That's Alyssa Levin, head of genomics and health innovation at Mount Sinai in New York. She says to find those changes, they'll sequence portions of the million DNA samples they collect. Levin explains what that means.
We are talking about this molecule of DNA, the double helix that we're all familiar with, that is pretty much in every cell in our body. And this is made up of what we call four base pairs. It's A, C, T, and G.
Those A's, C's, T's, and G's make up the recipe for how we grow, develop, and function.
And when we talk about sequencing the genome, we're figuring out at each of the 6 billion places in our genome, what is the specific letter in the code?
At specific locations, if there's an A where there's usually a G on one of those 6 billion places, that's a mutation. It might give you cystic fibrosis or sickle cell disease. Because healthy carriers of deadly mutations are thought to be so rare, Levin's team is only expecting to find about 50 of them out of the million people they test. That kind of genetic needle-in-a-haystack hunt has only recently become possible.
The original Human Genome Project took over a decade to implement and billions of dollars, whereas today, for reference, you can basically sequence an entire genome for thousands of dollars in the matter of weeks.
That's Levin's colleague, Bobby Sebra, director of technology development at Mount Sinai. Sebra says advances in DNA sequencing in the last decade have allowed scientists to comb through DNA samples and find mutations relatively quickly and cheaply. Here, they do it in a classroom-sized lab in Manhattan.
Yeah, right now we're in the Mount Sinai Genomics Sequencing Facility.
Sebra shows me two sequencing machines that look like crosses between a microwave and a dishwasher. One has a Batman sticker slapped on it. The other is Robin.
Are they both equally good? It seems like Batman might be better.
No, they're equal. It depends on which tech you talk to. Each person has their favorite instrument.
Sebra says all a human has to do is load DNA samples into Batman or Robin.
And then to sequence that library only takes about 2 hours.
2 hours compared to about a month of sequencing 24/7 that it would have taken back in the 90s. Given recent technological advances, scientists say this sequencing will actually be the easy part of the project.
I think the hardest part is going to be, once you find those people, figuring out why is it that they didn't develop the disease that they should have developed based on the mutation they have.
That's Dr. Dan Rader, chair of genetics at the University of Pennsylvania.
That's where the real creativity is going to come in. There's going to be a lot of work to try to figure out, looking at other genes and other aspects of those individuals. Why are they so healthy when their DNA says that they shouldn't be.
If the Resilience Project team finds someone with a mutation, they'll ask for consent for a battery of further analysis, looking at the rest of the genome and the patient's medical history to try to ferret out exactly what's protecting them from what should be a genetic time bomb. Whatever is protecting that patient could be turned into a treatment or therapy for people who do get sick. Rader gives an example of how that's worked with HIV in the past.
There was a really well-known story of an individual who basically appeared to be very resistant to the development of HIV despite being exposed.
The patient didn't have a specific receptor, the CCR5, that's required for the HIV virus to get into a cell.
And so that N of one example, which was published in the New England Journal and widely disseminated, I think is a great example of how just one person told us the importance of CCR5 in terms of HIV infection and the concept that CCR5 could be a target for actually targeting therapies.
Rader says the scientific community is largely behind the project.
It's a bit of a moonshot. We don't know what they're going to find, but I think the chance they're going to find something interesting is pretty high.
Mount Sinai is currently retrofitting a 19,000-square-foot DNA sequencing lab in Connecticut to handle Resilience Project samples when they start arriving this fall. Alyssa Levin says the new facility is designed with more of these large genetic treasure hunts in mind.
If we're able to essentially use this as a proof of concept and really make some progress, we're looking to expand out these databases to look at common diseases like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, schizophrenia, and applying these models where we know that we're going to have many more people that come up as potential unexpected heroes.
Screening a million samples is expected to take at least 3 years. Mount Sinai is funding the initial stage and looking to private foundations and institutional partners for further support. For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.
The Resilience Project will start accepting DNA samples through the mail as early as next month. If you're interested in taking part, you can sign up online to be notified when registration opens.